So if there is anybody here that wants to speak, or if you want, just if you wouldn't mind putting your, yep. Name, social security, no.
Your name.
What we could do. Credit card number. All right. Get this right today. Okay, then we will start our board meeting. Welcome to the Village of River Forest board meeting on Monday, November 26th. It's 7 o'clock, roughly. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. If I can ask you all to please stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you. So, Ori, you're up.
I don't know if anyone else is here about the uncontrolled intersection situation. Is anyone else here for that? Just me? Okay. So, trustees, here's the concern I have. I would like to propose that we eliminate all uncontrolled intersections in River Forest. Period. Zero uncontrolled intersections. Accidents happen because expectations are different between two different drivers. They don't happen because somebody's going 60 and somebody is going 55. They happen because one person is expecting something to happen and somebody else is expecting something else to happen. And at uncontrolled intersections, in other words, intersections with no signs whatsoever, there's confusion. Not everybody in River Forest and all of the people cutting through from Franklin Park and Elmwood Park and Oak Park, they're not all aware that you yield to the right. In fact, most people don't realize that until they get to court after an accident. So accidents happen because expectations are different. When two cars approach an intersection and one car thinks the other car is going to stop, they keep going. What I would propose is not a four-way stop sign at every intersection. I'm not looking to have everybody go through every intersection, sort of slow down and keep going. I want everybody approaching an intersection to either see a sign that says stop or yield, or if they don't see a sign, expect somebody else to stop or yield. It's very simple. I think it's quaint that we have intersections without any signs. Maybe it was cool 50 years ago when we're a little village and it's not a really big issue, but I've been in an accident. I know friends have been in accidents. And I don't really care what the studies show as far as how many accidents happen at each intersection, because our children walk the streets, we walk the streets, there are bikers, it's dark out. Driving over here, every single sign was covered with snow. There are bushes obstructing views. Just get rid of it. It's confusing and it causes accidents. There's no reason to have them. If anybody has any questions, wants to argue with me, wants to ask
we
me
We would
questions.
Never argue. That's questions.
Feel free.
But I'm going to look to John for a minute, or maybe Eric, because I know we've talked about yield signs, Ori, and you don't mind me calling Ori versus Doctor.
Please.
Okay. And I understand through much of our research that yield signs don't work either. I mean, people feel like, you know, I'll yield to a point and then that's it. You know, kind of, they just kind of plow through the
right
intersection as well. Maybe I'm making that up, but that's what I thought the research said. I don't know if one of you guys want to talk about it.
No, you're right. Yield signs usually aren't recommended for that reason. People don't pay as close attention because they think they don't have to stop.
Right.
Compared to uncontrolled intersections, well, or compared to stop signs?
Well, stop signs are ideal because everyone should stop at a stop sign. So either
don't.
You have all stop signs, you know, four-way around, or you have two and the other side yields naturally or normally and knows the rules of the road. at least that's what, because we've looked at this. This is not something that, frankly,
it's not something we weren't aware of.
And it's really something in our community that we consciously continue to, you know, think about. So,
yep.
Well, one of the things that's coming up is the Safe Routes to School study.
Yep.
And the recommendations coming out of that will likely yield, no pun intended, two-way stop signs or four-way stop signs.
Right.
I think almost every intersection.
Great.
So that could be the solution right there.
Right.
That would be terrific.
What, John?
The plan as it's proposed today has at least two way.
Okay, or F4.
Four.
Yeah.
Great. I'm not looking to add congestion, right?
Right.
Okay. The two way stop sign at William and Lemoyne, where I had my accident, I mean, I don't know if there would have been another accident had there not been a stop sign placed, but, and I always drive up William, I'm not on Lemoyne, so I'm always stopping, so I'm stopping more. I think it has made a difference. I know that I sit there and I stop and I wait for cars to go by.
Yeah.
So
that one has, because I remember we put that one in because of a major accident.
That was my accident, yeah.
Well, I don't know about your, could have been your second one. I mean, not yours, but I knew there was one major one.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the plan also with the safe routes is to look at comprehensively the entire village,
right.
Hopefully, that would yield, using that word again, that would give us some more overall information about, you know, our intersections, not just the routes to school,
yeah.
But how we can actually control, you know, all the other intersections. So, and I think, you know, just by looking at the draft of the document, that is actually, you know, what we're going to have recommended. So hopefully that's going to address a lot of the concerns that you and other residents
have. I
think
that sounds great. I mean, just working on the plan commission, I know that one of the requests is to improve more bicycle pathways and safer walkways. And,
yep.
And so, hey, if this new commission or whatever this is going to address my request, great.
Yeah.
I won't take credit for it, but I think that'll save lives, frankly.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. I think, beyond the safe routes, the comprehensive plan will also have biking and walking routes as well in it. Yeah, no, thank you for bringing it up. I mean,
okay.
This is something that we consciously keep, we always think about, and as Carmela said, it's something that we finally said we got to have more of a comprehensive plan around the
I think it's a little different.
Town.
River Forest is different from Oak Park. They have the basket weave stop sign system, but they have many more side streets, and we have side streets, but we have identified major sort of arteries, I guess. So, all right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Maury. All right, that was the only citizens' comment, so we'll get on to the elected official comments and announcements, item number four. Should we wait for the announcements, or do you want to, I mean, why don't we go with the elected comments? So I'll start with Carmela. Are you okay starting?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Hopefully everyone had a nice Thanksgiving and didn't strain yourselves too much when you were shoveling yourselves out this morning. As Dr. Gottlieb pointed out, just on my way here tonight, all of our stop signs and street signs are completely covered with ice and snow, so it's really even hard to see those. I don't know if there's any type of product or something that we can look at to, you know, in these situations to try to somehow highlight the signs, or, you know, I know our lighting is not going to be able to do that, but just something to think about, because that is dangerous in and of itself. I mean, from a public safety standpoint, and, you know, while this doesn't happen all the time, I mean, it's hard enough to navigate our streets in the dark on a normal night, but when we have the snow and ice, it's even more difficult to see what's going on. So just something for Public Works to maybe take a look at. I also had a question about, is our garbage pickup on schedule, or did we have to change that? Okay.
I got mine picked
no
up.
No change? Okay.
Mine got picked up.
I know, Elmwood Park.
I did too.
I know I've asked this before, and I'm not sure how we could do this, but we have several residents are without power, and so we've talked about maybe, I don't know if we could do warming centers or some type of location where, you know, if we do have these situations, either in the summer with the excessive heat or, you know, in the winter when we have these power outages, and, you know, maybe working with the park district or something to have a one location, you know, that has power by generator or something, that if we do have residents that don't have power and don't have anywhere to go, that at least we have some sort of warming center location to look at. So I don't know if that's something we can look into.
In fact, Carmela, one of the things we talked about just before we started the meeting tonight was pretty much that. It's like all of these, you know, 500 homes
right.
that are out of power, you know, we're, hopefully there's not an elderly person
right.
or a young child, whatever. And so we did call Carla Sloan
okay.
at Township to make sure that, you know, given that, you know, they're often out in the senior services
right.
there, and they often know where our elderly are at. And she has not gotten any calls at all today regarding help,
okay.
which is one that was really good. And then the other is that we, you know, we talked about possibly, just like you said, maybe a warming center, fireplace, or fire department, or community
right.
center, if there was a need. The only, you know, kind of challenge we have is that we'd have to know where they're at. You know, and so one of the things I asked one of the residents that called and asked about the power is if they have like a neighborhood tree, you know, do they call people? Do they know of elderly people that are on their block or in their area? Because we will certainly go out and do a well check on them. That's something we probably should work with the township on, is we just don't have a real good handle on kind of where some of our elderly folks
are. And I'm not, and
yeah.
it's not even
yeah.
necessarily an elderly folks. I mean, it would be, you know, other families
well,
that are, you know, they have no heat, so they're.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm gonna guess
right.
that they're a little bit more agile to
yeah.
try to find a,
yeah.
you know, just
stay with a
friend
yeah.
or figure out, you
yeah.
know, how to steal somebody's generator or whatever. But, you know, when you're old, you know,
right.
when you're elderly, it's a little
yeah.
less likely.
Right.
So anyway, we hear you, and I think that's a great idea.
And can I add to that is I received a text about a warming center, not that I was going to go. So I don't know
where?
If you're wherever. I'm trying to remember where it was, but I didn't really pay attention since I wasn't affected by it.
I know Oak Park has one.
I think
Civic Center.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it, Cook County or Oak Park.
Oh, probably Cook County.
Yeah, Cook County, I think, texted me. I was, I guess, on the list. So if you register.
We
did
with
without power.
With, no, well, it just said a warming center, so I guess it makes.
It's probably a county.
Assume that I'm elderly. But I think that's just an idea that we can probably
we
try to bank off and work with other agencies
right.
on that, too.
So, no, great idea. It's probably Cook County. What we need to do is try to create a phone to try, you know, tree to text. And then, but great idea. I'd ask that the administration, along with our public safety officials, to help us think that through. You know, when we're in an emergency like, you know, when you know, electric is out like
right.
that,
yeah,
we should think of alternatives.
Yeah, we could certainly use Blackboard for that too.
Yeah.
Yep.
To send out emails and phones.
And then I had one other comment question. I guess is. Just having our recent elections, it seems like Roosevelt School is still the only school that has a polling place. And, you know, with all of our concerns about safety in schools, I'm not sure why, you know, they haven't reached out to Cook County to try to get that moved. I mean, we consolidated a lot of polling places at the at Dominican.
Yeah, Trinity.
So Trinity and Willard used to have polling places, and they no longer do. And there's a polling place just down the street at the Lutheran Church. So, I'm sorry.
Are you First Press?
First Press.
They don't do that polling.
Oh, they're not anymore. So where?
No,
they
moved us over to Keystone and Lake Street.
Okay, so even
two
that
precincts are there now.
It just, you know, there was a lot of issues with parking on that day, and you have people just walking in and out of the school. So I imagine it causes some sort of safety concerns. I don't know if they think it's a concern, but I mean, from an overall community standpoint, if there's a way that if they want to have that moved, we can work with them in the county to try to consolidate that or relocate.
It's up to 90. If they don't
right.
want the polling place there,
yeah.
they have to have
that
there.
Well, I mean, they've moved it from Willard, and I don't know why, you know, they.
Well, the clerk's office has done a lot of consolidation
right.
just to save on the, you know, the cost of elections.
Right.
But if D90 doesn't want it there, they don't have to have it there.
So is that something that we just. If they haven't complained about it, then
well,
it's just.
Well, we'll talk to Dr.
Yeah.
Godden. I mean, you know, and if I mean, it's a legitimate
right.
concern. I agree. Seeing people in and out of the school.
So I don't know. That was just it was a concern with parking in the neighborhood. It was a concern with, you know, since the numbers were up this year with people voting, that it just caused some other issues. And I don't know if, you know, if they want it there or they don't want it there, but it was just something that has struck me as kind of odd that that's still the only school location in town that has polling place. So that was just my little question.
Yeah,
that's it.
And just to follow up, Trustee Cargi's correct. We get a letter from the county every year asking us if we'll agree to be a polling place, and so there's nothing mandatory with that. Okay. So, but I can follow up with D90.
Okay, thank you.
Just so you know, we last couple of years we've had Dr. Kinden reach out, and the school's hired an officer to act as security for the whole day over there. So there is a uniformed police officer there all day. It's part of the ongoing poll checking locations that the officers do throughout the day, but you are correct. The officer did notice increased traffic inside and outside of the polling place.
Just something to think about from a bigger perspective.
We'll certainly circle back with Dr. Condon and let him ask him, and since, like you said, it's his choice, but you know, certainly we'll double check with back.
Okay.
Back. Maybe he doesn't realize that, and we can inform him too.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The collaborative committee meets Wednesday at 6, right, Jim? Are we going to be, do we have a semifinal product?
Mm-hmm.
If anyone, I think you all got links to the calendar. If there are any thoughts, let me or John know, just so that we make sure that it reflects everyone. I understand the Park District has a website, or has a calendar, John.
They do?
So they'll be feeding this community calendar with a calendar that's not on its own public.
Oh, okay.
But we'll be populating.
So we'll have a robust calendar for five of the six agencies. So hopefully it'll be a place where everyone can go and find out what's going on.
Yeah, it's great. I don't know if you haven't opened it up or looked at it, but it's a pretty cool. So thanks, Tom.
Yeah,
good stuff.
And if you have more continues to be updated there. So it's the live test site that you guys have. So.
It's great. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. Okay, thank you. Russ?
Okay. I'm happy to report that I completed my 12-month term on the Oak Park River Forest High School Imagine Work Group. It took 15 months instead of 12. So it's the new math. But I'm happy to report that the board did accept the master facilities plan in totality as we submitted it and prepared it. But I also want to clarify that what that means is they just accepted the plan. Now they're going to have to go and deal with what part they will fund or not fund. There are already people coming in, as probably in the past, turning this into a pool referendum, and that's all they talk about is this is a pool referendum to get around the previous referendum. So we're going to see where it goes, but we're hoping at least it'll be a little more successful than the last time. So. And I think they're going to start the board is going to start discussing it in its December board meeting. So so hopefully they'll have to do something. At least there's a lot of the facilities conditions that are in very poor shape. So, okay. On a happier note, this is a shout out to Chief O'Shea. I think he's going to be at the River Forest Library tomorrow talking about his plans and challenges, I guess, with the police force here. So 7 o'clock, River Forest Library, if you want have a chance to go.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
That's it.
Susan?
Oh, it's good to be back. Thanksgiving. As I was driving tonight, I was on just south of the tracks as the train had let everyone off. And so it's pitch black, there's snow everywhere, there's people walking, what looks like in the middle of the street almost, and there's two-way traffic and there's absolutely no room for everybody. I don't know what we could possibly do to make that more safe, but it seemed really dicey there.
And Keystone?
Just south of the tracks.
Oh, south.
The train riders, they do that whether there's snow on the ground or not.
it's pitch black.
They just do it. I don't know what. They come out of that tunnel and
just
everyone's
walking down.
There's no sidewalk on the along the parked cars.
Yeah, there needs
so
to
they
be
have
a
to
sign.
Walk in the street to get to their cars that are parked on the south side of the tracks. So it's just
it's very dangerous. I didn't hit anybody.
All right, that's good.
For the record.
I think Mike is right. It happens anyway.
Hello, welcome to everybody. The only thing I have to report is I did participate in the River Forest Civic Association's last meeting. And for those who are not aware, the River Forest Civic Association is formerly the Service Club. They've changed their name, and they are who is sponsoring the event tomorrow evening with Chief O'Shea. So, again, I'll be at the library at 7 p.m. But the event I participated in was geared towards candidates and supporters of said candidates coming up for our election in April. I believe we have, between all of our village boards, including the high school, I believe there's around 15 seats, so 15 potential candidates. So it was a nice opportunity for people to hear from each of our taxing bodies' representatives. I was actually there on behalf of President Aducey, and then I also participated by sharing some tips on running an election for anybody who might be running or their campaign staff, so to speak, who might be helping them. So anyhow, it was a good event, and I think tomorrow should be as well. And if you want to put on your calendar for January 30th, the next event for the Civic Association will be actually a State of the Union for or a conversation between Forest Park, River Forest, and Marlowe's Park, I believe it
Elmwood
is.
Elmwood Park.
Elmwood, so Elmwood Park. Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Elmwood Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So January 30th at 7.
At the library as well.
At the library as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Patty.
Hi, everybody. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I know it's always crazy this time of year. Kudos to Public Works for having the streets and alleys ready to go for our Monday morning mayhem. The trees are an interesting problem from this storm. I can't be too critical, even though I have no power. Honestly, I have no idea how people functioned without electricity, because I had 25 candles and 3 fireplaces going. The house was still cold, and it was still dark. So, yeah, I don't know how they did it. No criticisms. There's three tree trimming trucks waiting at the end of the block for the Commonwealth Edison guys to come and turn the power off so they can get the tree off the line. So little dysfunction between those guys, but not our guys. So kudos, kudos to your guys as usual. We don't have anything else. I'd like to welcome the candidates that are in the crowd tonight. The Wednesday Journal presented that I'm running again, and I look forward to getting to know the people I'm running with, not against, for the upcoming election. That's it. So be careful in the snow. It's really icy.
Yeah. Okay. I just have a few things. First of all, thank you very much, Patty, for chipping in and doing the presentation. I was off in Mexico. Sure wish I still was there. So thank you for doing that. Let's see. I did attend, on behalf of the village, the River Forest Library Strategic Planning Session, which is really kind of, it was a very nice session. It included all the taxing bodies and some other folks. And they did it very efficiently, and it was like an hour and a half, and I think they accomplished quite a bit. So it would be interesting to see, the product or the actions from that from that planning session. I also attended with Chairwoman Brennan a bike walk, suburban advocacy summit in Evanston, which was I thought was really interesting. It was just all about walkable, bikeable communities. And I walked away learning quite a bit about, there's a big group out there that loves to bike and loves to walk. And so it was a good, and I know, I think from that, I believe we're having some conversations on the comprehensive plan regarding bike and walk. And the last, I attended a Women in Leadership conference that was hosted by River Edge Hospital and Wednesday Journal. It was really inspiring. I had a couple keynote speakers, and so it was very, very inspiring. We've got some really great women in leadership in this community, as well as, you know, surrounding states as well. So I did that. Other than that, that's all I have. So we'll move on to some of our announcements now. We've got a great opportunity here to recognize a wonderful person and a wonderful woman who's done some wonderful things in our community, Sue Crothers. Sue, I'm going to embarrass you and ask you to come forward, because we have a plaque that we want to present to you. And I want to read it out loud. So that lot here, because you've done a lot. We appreciate everything you've done. And in fact, when it comes to change, I don't know of another person who is the biggest change agent in River Forest than you. There's a cliche, you know, if you want to make change, you don't sit in the stands, you get on the field and you play the game, and that's what you do. Everything you've done, I think, for us in River Forest and for the community, you've been on the field and getting things done. So on behalf of the trustees, my fellow board members, the administration here in River Forest, I want to read you a proclamation recognizing you, Sue, and all the wonderful things you've done for River Forest. So let me, bear with me. Sue Crothers, a River Forest resident, who along with her husband, Bill, who's in the audience here, that's not on this, it just, built the first green home in River Forest. And Sue is a founding member of the River Forest Sustainability Commission, and has been instrumental in advising the Village Board of Trustees on sustainability policies and practices and improving public education of environmental issues. And as an experienced beekeeper, Sue was instrumental in helping the Village to establish its beekeeping ordinance, allowing homeowners to raise and keep honeybees. And Sue, who also a founding member of the River Forest Park Foundation, where she created various programs such as green living educational seminars at the River Forest Library, All Heads in Helmets, the Zero Waste Campout, and Green Block Parties. And Sue continued her work on green block parties with the Sustainability Commission, educating residents about the importance of native plantings and edible gardens in partnership with the Deep Roots Project. And Sue is the founder of the One Earth Film Festival and director of the One Earth Film Festival's Young Filmmaker Contest, which has become the largest environmental film festival in the Midwest. And Sue created the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family campaign in River Forest, worked on an integrated pest management policy, and worked with the Midwest Pesticide Action Center to reduce the use of chemicals and pesticides on lawns, gardens, public lands in River Forest, including in River Forest Parks. And Sue was an original core team member of Planet Green, the 10-year sustainability plan for Oak Park and River Forest, which she served on for 7 years. And Sue is a past member of the Future Philanthropists program, which is a selective group for high school and students to learn about philanthropy. And in addition to her environmental work, Sue works with other community groups and nonprofit organizations, including the Women's Global Education Project, where she serves as president. So, therefore, I, Catherine Aducey, Village President of the Village of River Forest, do hereby thank Sue Crothers for her contributions to raising awareness about environmental issues and improving the quality of life for all of River Forest residents. On behalf of all of us, we'd like to congratulate you.
I can't go without standing up here one last time. So thanks for reminding me of some stuff there that I'd sort of forgotten about, but thank you. First, I want to say a huge thank you for this award and for this recognition. It has truly been a pleasure to work with you all on what I consider the common goal of us creating and maintaining a sustainable and vibrant community, a vibrant River Forest. And my role in that has been to consider our footprint and our impact on the environment, And I believe in their definition of sustainable development to be development that meets the needs of today at the same time as considering and not compromising the ability of the future generations' needs. And so with that, I've always kept that approach in mind. And the approach also for River Forest is, to me, is like we have a community that is a highly educated community, and a person who's educated on issues doesn't really need to be imposed upon or preached to. And I have approached the work with that thought in mind, and that we don't need to preach or impose on our community, but if we educate them on the issues, they are more than willing to follow and actually be leaders themselves. And so I just wanted to say a last thank you. I shall miss everybody. I shall miss my colleagues, my friends in River Forest, who are also my colleagues I will have for life. And I would like to leave with just one more announcement for the Sustainability Commission,
yeah, okay,
and leave you with a parting gift, and is that we have discussed with the library, Katie was the lead on this, to have a sustainability shelf at the library, of which we will keep our information that on things that we are doing in the community on sustainability, and general information on impact and how you can impact your community when you think about it. And so I would like to offer a gift to all of you, and that is the first book for the shelf, for the sustainability shelf at the library.
Yeah.
I was recently at an event with a architect who is a writer as well, and this is called Sustainable Nation, and it's about sustainable communities and what we can do and how we can change some of the development that we do in order to consider that. So I shall leave this gift with President Iduzzi to share around before it goes onto the shelf. Mm-hmm. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Well, we're going to get a picture of that. Thank you. I'm going to take this with me.
I'm too without power, so you're really letting me go with a bang, or not a bang.
Well, we're working on that.
I have to write. Maybe we need solar to put it on. All right.
Stuff. All right. Well, that was very exciting. So we're on to our next exciting, I guess, proclamation. I'll let Eric do this one.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everyone. We are in an interesting crossroads tonight. We have a passing of the torch, the finance torch, if you will, tonight as we're honoring our retiring finance director and welcoming and swearing in our new finance director. So as we get started, I ask Joan to come on up. Joan, who was out of town and had a small injury, but she's on the road to recovery.
I didn't even see that.
I won't embarrass you and go through this line by line, but because when she found out we were doing this, what was her line, John? Oh, geez, now what? Yeah, it was the what we were doing. It's the PM, right, exactly. Do you remember the first time we met?
Yeah.
Panera in St. Charles, yes. Right. So I got hired in 2010. We didn't have a full-time finance director. We had an acting police chief, acting public works director. And Jim Winnicates, who was the finance chair at the time, called me up. And he said, do you know Joan Rock? I said, no, I wouldn't know if I tripped over. Why? Well, she did some consulting work for us, and she'd be interested in coming back. I think it'd be a good hire. Why don't you go meet her? I said, okay. At that point,
I was like, I got three department heads we have to hire. If this is the first one, we'll hire it at Panera. We'll hire it at Panera. So I drove out to St. Charles. I was working out west. We had a great conversation, a great breakfast, and from there, the rest is history, I guess you could say. I've said it numerous times. I'll say it one more time. The position we are in financially, the financial house that is in order, is largely attributable to all of Joan's hard work. If there was a book about the Village of River Forest as our organization, 2007 to 2009 or 10 would be an interesting chapter. But as the village worked its way out of the Great Recession, Joan was there to steer the ship. And all the cool things and good things that we can do today as an organization, as a community, in terms of are because we have strong finances. We have money in the bank. We have strong reserves. And that's because of Joan. And so it's been a pleasure to work with you for the past 8 years. Thank you for everything you've done for the organization.
Thank you all. And first of all, the condition of the finances is really attributable to Eric and a lot of the things that he's done with economic development. The Finance Committee, Jim Winnicates, and all the work he did in that's where they are, huh? We moved them, and the board for all their support in doing everything they've done. But that finance committee that was created with all the citizens way back when in like 2010, that really did a lot to right the ship. So it's there's a lot of people that had their hand in straightening out the finances of the village. Anyway, I would like to thank Eric for bringing me back here after my interim stint. It's been a great place to finish my career. Eric has been a great leader and is very dedicated to moving the village forward. I have a considerable amount of respect for him, and I have appreciated his support and his encouragement. He's been a really great boss while I've been working here. I also truly appreciate the support of the board. It's been wonderful to work with the elected officials because they all love the village and they're truly passionate about doing great things for the village, and it just makes it really enjoyable to work for the board. I especially want to thank Trustee Corsini, the Finance Committee Chairman, and the various other players on the Finance Committee throughout the years for taking their time to focus on the village finances and also to do all the work involved with meeting with the pension boards and creating the pension funding policies and trying to get the pension funds in a better position financially. And then, of course, the staff, Lisa, John, department heads, for making the job fun and assisting me when I needed assistance. Really appreciated. And then the finance staff, who a great group of people, provide great customer service, really put their hearts and souls into the job, and have provided me with a tremendous amount of support while I've been here. Anyway, I've had a great career, so I don't really have anything to complain about. It was a pretty good career. It went pretty fast. I'm surprised at how fast it goes. You know, you start out and all of a sudden it's over. But I'm looking forward to retiring, spending time with family, friends, traveling, not getting hurt. I'm very confident that I'm leaving you in good hands with Rosie McAdams. She's had a lot of experience. She previously worked here, as you all know, and she's a village resident. So I think it's a great fit for the community. Thank you all very much.
Yeah, I have an obligatory picture here. You can
read the proclamation.
Come on, Eric. You
got to
get in there.
Too much?
It's too much.
What? Oh.
I can't shake hands.
Thanks. Thank you. Joan, super duper.
Hey, Joan.
pink fuzzy robe.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank Joan Rock for all your hard work. Thank you so much. You've made this community a lot better over the last 8 years, so thank you. All right, so we're going to be moving forward on to appointment of Rosie McAdams. So I would like a motion from a trustee in a second.
I move to concur with the recommendation of the village president to appoint Rosemary McAdams as finance director and appoint her to both the police pension board and firefighters pension board and to adopt a resolution appointing her as the IMRF authorized agent.
Second.
Okay, very good. Is there any discussions or comments regarding Ms. McAdams?
It was my pleasure to meet Rosie again when we had our chance to talk with her, and I think she's going to be great. Not only are you a village resident that's passionate about the village, you're a great advocate for our village, you have great experience, so I'm really excited that you're joining the team. So congratulations.
Yeah, me too. I'm very happy you're going to be part of this team. I can see it already. It's going to have good vibes, great experience. So welcome aboard. Love to have you.
I have big shoes to fill.
Yeah, yeah. You do. They're going to be hard, but I'm confident you will do the job.
And apparently a sleeve.
No.
How about the coffee maker she's got in there?
The coffee maker.
You're taking home the coffee?
How about all the squeezy toys, though? Are you taking those back?
One of those got discarded.
Oh, okay.
All right. Super. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'd like to, clerk, please take the vote.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Okay, very
Motion
good.
Motion passed.
Great.
Good luck, Rosie.
Yeah, we're swearing.
Yeah. Welcome.
Oh, you got to swear.
Over here?
Yep.
Okay.
Or you can do it outside. No. Whatever you want to do.
You need to raise your right hand. And
yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
The affirmation. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Rosemary McAdams.
I, Rosemary McAdams.
Having been appointed to the Office of Finance Director.
Having been appointed
to the Office of Finance Director.
In the Village of River Forest.
In the Village of River Forest.
In the County of Cook.
In the County of Cook.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will
support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the Office of Finance Director.
The duties of the Office of Finance Director.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Congratulations. All right. Good job, Rosie. Everybody, welcome Rosie. Come on.
Got to run the
bell. Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, there. All right, Rosie.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you very much.
Does she need to
do it? Yeah, we can start that later.
All righty.
What's today, your first?
Fun stuff. All right, moving on to our consent agenda. We have consent agenda A through L. So if I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through L.
Move to approve the consent agenda items A through L.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. And I'll ask the clerk, unless there's any questions and concerns regarding the consent agenda, I'll ask the clerk to please read the consent agenda out loud.
A, village special village board meeting minutes October 15th, 2018. B, special village board meeting minutes November 5th, 2018. C, change order number one final 2018 street patching program $9,016.01 resolution. D, waiver of formal bids and award of purchase of a 2019 Ford F-550 chassis from Sutton Ford
for $38,633, and waiver of formal bids and award of purchase of a corresponding service body from Regional Truck Equipment for $20,225. E, fiscal year 2019 budget amendment ordinance. F, amendment to the village's personnel policy manual regarding state mandate from Public Act 100-1066 regarding anti-harassment filing period deadline changes. G, monthly department reports. H, monthly performance measurement report. I, financial report October 2018. J, accounts payable October 2018, $1,465,003.88. K, village administrator's report. L, Finance and Administration Committee meeting minutes, November 2nd, 2017, January 25th, 2018, May 14th, 2018, October 15th, 2018.
Okay, very good. Ready for the vote?
There's one typographical error. I don't know how picky we want to be. F, my paperwork, it says ant harassment. I don't know if we're talking about insects or... But anyway, it's missing the eye. I don't make light of it.
Okay.
But I don't.
I like that ant harassment.
Well, that's probably what we're talking about. Don't harass those animals. Okay, great catch. Thank you, Mike.
way to read that agenda cover sheet.
The idea that I found a spelling error.
I said anti.
Miraculous.
I said anti.
Okay.
Can I go ahead and take the vote on that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Okay, great. So let's move on to 6A and B. These are consent items for separate consideration. If I can get a motion and a second for 6A.
Motion to approve accounts payable for the Madison Street TIF on... $23.04.
Second.
Okay. Trustee Vasquez.
Vasquez?
Yes.
Cheers. Again, as in the past, despite the amount of $23.04, my firm still has a still represents District 90 and 200, and therefore I have a conflict of interest, a common law conflict of interest, and will recuse myself on this vote, and I ask that the clerk not call my name during the vote.
Okay. You might want to read it and then.
Consent items for separate consideration. A, accounts payable from the Madison Street Fund, $23.04.
Right.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Then if I can get a motion and a second for 6B, please.
I move to approve accounts payable from the general fund to Anderson Elevator for $620.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. I will not be participating or voting on this topic.
Okay. If I can have the clerk take the call or take the vote and...
Accounts payable from the general fund to Anderson Elevator for $620. Mm-hmm. Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Very good. Now moving on to 7, recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. We have two appointments tonight. I'll take them individually. The first appointment is the appointment of Shannon Roberts to the Sustainability Commission, and this will take Sue Carruthers' vacancy, which her term is ending April 30th, 2019, so it's right around the corner. I believe Shannon and her resume was part of your packet. She comes with a great deal of background in sustainability, so I highly recommend Shannon for this position. If I can get a motion and a second.
I'll move to concur with the recommendation of the village president to appoint Shannon Roberts to the Sustainability Commission to serve the remainder of the term ending April 30th, 2019.
I second.
Any questions or comments regarding Shannon, Ms. Roberts? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conte?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Great. Another instance of big shoes to fill, by the way.
Yeah. Right. I don't think Shannon's here because she had a snowstorm, and I think she's working downtown. Okay, the second appointment is of Joanna Schukegel. Joanna is going to replace Mike Rule's vacancy, which ends 4/30/2020. She also had her information on in your packet. If I can ask one of the trustee and another to second the motion to appoint Joanna Schukegel to the Zoning Board of Appeals as well as to the Development Review Board.
I move to concur with the recommendation of the village president to appoint Joanna Schukegel to the Zoning Board of Appeals and Development Review Board to serve the remainder of the terms ending April 30th, 2020.
I'll second.
Great. Joanna is in the audience, if you can wave for the group. If there's any questions or comments you want to ask of Joanna, she'd certainly be happy to answer.
My question is, do you go in knowing how much work you're going to have to do?
Yes.
Because you've picked two of the more challenging boards that we have, so just hopefully you're prepared.
Okay. Yeah.
But thank you.
Yes, thank you for volunteering.
Very good. Thanks. Okay, let's take the vote, please.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. And thank you, Joanna. So welcome to
the board.
Yep. Volunteerism.
And we'll be in, the staff will be in touch with some training materials that we'll send along your way.
It won't take other than maybe a couple thousand hours of
this
month.
Thing.
Teasing. 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 All right.
Yeah.
I got to remember. She's
going to resign before she gets
appointed.
You do
have four children. I know that. So I remember.
She has four kids at home. This is nothing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right? I mean.
Yeah. So, good priority. Good priority. All right. Welcome, and we look forward to your contribution. So moving on to 7C. This is the Zoning Board of Appeals recommendation for variance. We're going to take one of them, and I guess we're going to defer the second one. So if I can get a motion to approve
Motion to approve an ordinance granting a request of variation to Section 10-9-7 of the Zoning Ordinance at 346 Park Avenue.
Second.
Great. Any comments or?
Just a question more to the second motion than the first, but how long can you keep this open?
Yeah, well, I had the same question. We don't have any deadline.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's no deadline in state law, and the village doesn't have a deadline for action by the village board after recommendation. It's up to the body to decide. The village board to decide when you want to go forward.
So we can see like could not agree to continue the motion?
Conceivably, the body could, yes. That's right. It would take a majority vote to deny it or to just take it up now. But
I just question the applicant's interest in that variance if you just keep pushing off the decision.
Well, that's why we decided we'd go ahead and move the one that got approved unanimously and then, you know, leave it in the hands of the resident on what they want to do, right?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, there are rules in terms of once it is approved,
right.
How long you have is 9 months, nine months, I believe, that you have in order to construct.
Once we approve it.
Yeah, once the village board approves
it. Once we approve it, right.
And then there is an administrative, I can extend that up to 60 days, or I was going to say 2 months. In fact, we just had a situation not too long ago that was brought to the staff's attention where they came in after the fact, permits came in after the fact, and they're going to have to go through the process again.
And that's to finish the project or just to get the permits initially?
To get the permits to even start it.
Right, no, I'm saying, but so it's 90 days to get the permits, not 90 days to finish the project.
9 months.
It's 9 months.
No, nine.
Yeah, nine months to get your permit.
So it's any development, any variance.
Yep. And this particular garage has already been built. He's already made all the changes because I was.
This was an after the
right.
fact. We'll go out, measure, and then there was an administrative. There was a minor variation granted,
yeah.
And then there was a required a major. So the variation is only for an inch.
Right.
But
you literally had to dig an inch lower.
The,
right.
the line was drawn in the sand, and they got the minor variation. They had to go back and get the major.
Now I want to confirm too that the second request that he has that's pending. Is not contingent on this one if it's granted.
No, it's
or it doesn't impact the other. Okay, totally.
Yeah, the garage is detached.
Okay.
And this is for a proposed addition to the home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do have a minor variation process, and really the purpose of that is if while you're constructing the garage,
Carmel.
You go a little bit higher than what code allows, the minor variation process allows us to accommodate that. But, so that was accomplished here, and when it was constructed, it was just still a little too high, and so
Baker and I have been in touch. He apologizes for requesting an additional extension. He's been called away from work kind of unexpectedly a few times, and so he would ask that it be continued to second meeting in January, and he has indicated that he does not intend to request any additional continuances after that.
Okay. Sounds like he's been very nice about it. Okay, so I guess we'll take the vote, please.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes. Okay. So on D, we do need a motion to continue the matter to our January 28th meeting. So if I can get a trustee and one and a second to motion the move, I'd appreciate
motion
it.
Motion to continue item 7D to January 28th, 2019, Village Board Trustee Meeting.
Second.
Okay. I think we've answered most of the questions, so go ahead and take the vote, please.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, moving on to 7E. This is a Traffic and Safety Commission issue that was discussed and came and voted on, right, from the commission. If I can get a trustee to motion and another to second, and we can discuss it.
I move to approve an ordinance amending Title IX entitled Traffic Regulations, Chapter 3, entitled Traffic Schedules of the River Forest Village Code to install a no parking zone on the east side of Thatcher Avenue from Greenfield Street to the driveway at 1349 Thatcher Avenue.
Okay. Second. All right. Any comments or
I do have one
point of view
clarification. When I was listening to the meeting, you had talked about the striping will have to wait until the spring. Will signage go up, though, immediately to make it a no parking zone?
We can do that. You know, since the ordinance will be passed now, we can put the signage in.
But, I mean, was that the intent to make it no parking immediately or not even until the spring?
Well, the intent was to put striping down, so we were hoping to get the striping down before the weather changed, but that's either put the signage in now or wait to do the strike.
No, I'm fine.
So it's really up to us at this point.
I'd be good with the signs now.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, it just seems if it's a problem
feels,
to
right.
get the parking gone as soon
right.
as possible, if that's the issue.
Okay. My question is, doesn't it make more sense to extend it farther north? Or why stop at his driveway? Why not go farther down? Because the problem still exists at that corner that is identified. How does just stopping at his driveway solve that problem?
Well, that deals with the Dominican students right there. Going further north, I think that was just matched up to the previous parking restrictions.
Well, so you're just trying to replicate what was there before.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't in the ordinance before, so that's what had to get cleaned up.
Gotcha. Because I do think maybe it might make sense to consider moving no parking farther down at that corner.
If we get that request, we can consider.
Or resident.
Or I was going to say, or resident parking only, just because there's not, you can't park on the other side of Thatcher, and so, yeah.
But it's a tight corner. I mean, it's a congested corner, I should say.
Correct. But if you continued farther north on Thatcher and made it no parking, then you wouldn't have very many on-street parking spaces. So you'd want to restrict it to residents only.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this situation occurred because of the resurfacing, and then when the state had it restriped, it kind of made
right.
it look inviting to park there, when in the past it didn't.
Right.
So.
In the past it had been striped that you couldn't park there,
right.
but it technically wasn't in the car ordinance. So they repaved it, didn't put the striping back down. We realized the ordinance wasn't in existence, so we put the ordinance in to the Traffic and Safety Commission. Now we have to put the striping back down.
No change from our standard practice, but a change
right.
in the striping that showed that we didn't have an ordinance that said no
right.
parking.
Good catch. All right.
Something I noticed was when the state restriped it, they restriped parking spots in front of fire hydrants.
Are you asking us about
just
state
like
government?
No, it was actually parking out for an outline spot.
They may allow
Does he want me to comment on
it? Did they fix it?
On or off the record?
Yeah.
I'm sure Pritzker's going to fix that.
All right. I'll ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, 7F, which is another Traffic and Safety Commission recommendation that came to us to amend Title IX of resident parking on the 1500 block of Ashland. If I can get a motion and a second, and then we can discuss it.
I'll move to approve an ordinance amending Title IX entitled Traffic Regulations, Chapter 3, entitled Traffic Schedules of the River Forest Village Code to install resident-only parking zones on the east and west side of Ashland Avenue from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., excluding holidays, except between Lemoyne Streets and North Avenue.
I'll second.
Okay. Any comment on this? I think we've kind of talked about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So this is different than any other resident only because it goes 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Well, Monday through Sunday, so it's every day. And do we normally have 8 p.m. that late on resident? Is that the one by Concordia?
Yeah.
Okay. But this is every day, so Monday through Sunday. And is that because the immediate care is open every day? And the residents on the block are all okay with us and in tune with us?
Yeah, they were notified.
And then we're still going to have the no parking zone on the east side of the street between North and
the
alley or the driveway.
Right.
Correct. Okay. All right. It's just a different. It's different than some of our other restricted. So that was my only question.
Okay. That's a good question. All right. Any further questions? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Motion passed. Yep. Okay, we're moving on to the third Traffic and Safety Commission recommendation, which is to install a stop sign at Gale and Vine in Jackson and Iowa. If I can have a trustee and another to move and second, I'd appreciate it.
I move to approve an ordinance amending Title IX, entitled Traffic Regulations, Chapter 3, entitled Traffic Schedules of the River Forest Village Code, to install a four-way stop intersection at Gale at its intersection with Vine and a two-way stop intersection at Jackson Avenue and Iowa Street with Jackson Avenue traffic stopping at Iowa Street.
I'll second.
Any questions regarding that? I think that's somewhat self-explanatory. I know the commission reviewed it.
Long time coming.
Long time coming, exactly. Okay. Russ?
No, I have no issues with these two requests. My question is, are there any others in the pipeline, or are these the only two?
No, there's a series of other recommendations within the Safe Routes study.
But nothing that will wait? I mean, these two obviously are urgent because of the accident
that
occurred. My question, are there any other corners where the stop signs are that had accidents before, or are these the only two?
The most recent.
Correct. These are the most recent. I can't speak to the volume of accidents and all the other intersections that are being addressed within the Safe Routes. But on December 10th, Jeff confirmed with Eric Russell or not?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. We're working to get the consultant here on December 10th to walk through the Safe Route study, and they'll can address all the other intersections.
Okay. That's the only.
Okay. Hearing no further comments or questions, I'll ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Okay, on our next item, 7H, Administrator Palmer has asked me to pull this because
correct.
Numbers are incorrect.
Yeah, so the number. Yeah, no, it's not Joan's fault. It's my fault.
No,
so,
I said Rosie.
Oh, Rosie's fault. Yeah. No, the move would be to blame Joan because she's retiring. But no, it's my response. It's my fault. So,
Well, she didn't sign her paperwork.
I think I know what I did, but I'll go back and double check. Anyhow, the amount is it the prior year? That's what I thought.
So we have plenty of time. The tax levy doesn't have to be filed till the end of December. We've got another meeting in December. We could amend it tonight, but I would rather just bring it back. I'd rather just pull it, be safe. There are attorneys who make their living out of finding these technicalities, so
right.
We'll bring it back. My apologies, that's my fault, and we'll bring that back on December.
All right, that's fine. That's good.
So Joan is gone like 10 minutes, and the thing's
falling out. That's what I said. I said, Rosie, what happened? For goodness sake. It's already wrong. No, it was not her fault. Nobody's fault. All right, then we'll move on to unfinished business, which is 8A, and this is our fire sprinkler and alarm system ordinance, thanks to residents like John Grant and others that brought us to it, our attention. So if I can have a trustee and a to move it and second it, and then we can discuss it.
I'll make a motion to approve an ordinance amending Section 4-1-9 River Forest Village Code with regard to residential fire sprinklers and alarm systems.
Second.
Okay. We'll make it a tie. All right. So, Eric, you want to give us an update? Oh, John?
This is the This is the ordinance changes that we discussed for the previous two meetings. As you well know, we decided on the 90% for the demo and rebuild. That's included in here. This is exactly what was discussed at the last meeting. It just by state law needed to sit in the books here for 30 days. That's happened, and it's ready for approval tonight.
I just had one as far as the numbering. Maybe it doesn't need to be changed. It goes from 313.3, and then it goes 0.1, 0.2, and so on. Which, the way things have been changed, it looks like there really isn't a 0.3 anymore. So should the what's currently R313.3.4, should that really get changed to 0.3?
Are you talking about page 2?
See what I'm saying? So if you start with, you start at the beginning, sprinkler systems is R313.3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're making where required the 0.1, and we're making the system requirements the 0.2. So should we skip down then and make the acceptance requirements 0.3 and not keeping it at 0.4? Understand what I'm saying?
What page are you looking at?
I don't know, in my board packet.
Page 1.
Page 330.
So of the ordinance, of the actual
So it's just the numbering of the, do you see what I'm saying?
I see, well, I do, and I think that we can, yes, on page 4, our 313.3.4 can become 0.3.3 to remain consistent.
I see.
Right, because otherwise then there is no 0.3.
You're correct.
Right.
If you're going
Thank you,
it.
Yes. Well, yes, I've noted that change. It'll be in the final version that'll be signed and codified.
Okay. I see. Right, Patty. Right.
I mean, it doesn't really change anything, essentially. Just
yeah, just the number. No, thanks.
Yeah.
Good catch. Okay. All right. Yep. So I think this captures it all. Any other further comment or question? Hearing none, I'll ask the clerk to please take the vote on this.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes. Okay, very good. On the next item is just a discussion, because we really handled more of the residential side of the fire sprinkler issue. We didn't really talk about the commercial. Well, we did, but I think it's good that we nail that down and have more clarity around it. So, John, why don't you work through this discussion with us?
Absolutely. So the ordinance that we just approved then was for one and two family dwelling units, so mostly single family homes as well as two family, you know, duplexes or anything like that. This, what we're discussing here, is for everything else that includes institutional, commercial, you know, office buildings, anything else. So again, these requirements for the sprinklers in those structures are nearly identical to what the one and two family used to be before we changed it just now. So in a sense, that includes, as you see there listed, one through four, new construction, newly constructed additions that are more than 50% of the structure as it stands, renovated portions that are more than 50% renovation, and then any combination of the two. So again, new construction, 50% addition, 50% renovation, or some combination of the two. Any of those actions require you to install sprinkler systems. The other thing that is the caveat that could require sprinkler systems is a change in use of a structure. So if it used to be an office building and you open a pyrotechnics company inside of it, that is a higher hazard as specified by the International Existing Building Code. That triggers the review, the change in use, and could trigger the installation, a requirement for the installation of a suppression system. The requirement for monitoring is very simple. Any structure that has to have a sprinkler system has to have it monitored electronically by a UL-rated station. That's not just any one station. It's not directly here to dispatch. It's just any UL-approved station. So, ADS, ADT, Forest Security, whoever it may be, it has to be electronically monitored. There are a few exceptions, as you see there. One of them is dormitories. That was prevalent in here, where the state required that all dormitories be sprinklered by 2013. The other ones that apply to us, public school facilities play by their own rules. We're not talking about those here. And then accessory structures, so garages, sheds, obviously, have their own requirements.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Chief, NFPA deals with these exceptions, I'm sure. It just caught my eye that they're automatically required if selling upholstered furniture.
Yes.
Is there references in here that reference the NFPA? Do we need that line, or
it's,
can we just reference the exceptions in the code?
The NFPA code for the upholstered furniture, I don't think that we need that in this because we've adopted that code, so it's already in there.
Right.
It's not a separate line in the code. It's just separated there just because I was trying to list out all the exceptions that weren't playing by the general rules above, right? So that's just that's
well, I'm a big fan of referencing the national codes versus every municipality trying to create their own.
Yeah, and that is what this is, except I believe that the upholstered furniture is an Illinois law, not an NFPA law, but other than that,
okay.
Or NFPA code.
It just seemed weird that it was a standalone line, that there's no love for upholstery companies. But, okay. Right. Just wondering where that came from.
There's all the love to keep them safer.
Good answer.
Just that.
So only if you're selling it, not if you have it?
Like a warehouse? Is that what you're referring to?
Selling upholstery.
I believe that's correct.
Well, it all says it's
higher
just
concentration.
Selling.
You're selling, you have a lot more
versus inventory of furniture.
Or manufacture of.
When Illinois passed that, it was basically directed at furniture stores.
Right.
Because they're a very high hazard just because of all the lumber and all that. So,
but wouldn't a furniture warehouse be?
Yeah, I mean, if you're wearing.
You're talking about Illinois.
Because a warehouse, it's still considered
selling
upholstered first.
Are you still selling it?
No, I
agree with that. I just think the word selling.
But is it because it's selling public? The public's coming in and out versus, and then
the warehouse would be included too under there.
I don't think we're going to have a lot of furniture.
Depending on its size. And right, the good news is that we're covered here, right? So there's no furniture warehouses now. If we built one, it'd be a new structure and be required to be sprinkler. So
regardless.
Like all new structures.
So
what's the difference?
Any new structure. Yeah.
But then what's the difference?
Well, the furniture in the warehouse is still for sale just because they're not actually selling.
I'm not
sure. The difference is the retroactivity of it.
It's the weird line. I mean, something along the lines of fire sprinklers automatically required in structures dealing with upholstered furniture.
It's a preferred.
I didn't want to beat that up.
And we don't have one.
Yeah, the difference is the retroactivity of it. But
we have to make sure we're living in the right
community. It's just a weird line to be standalone.
All right, whatever, it's up to you guys. All right, we've lost control here. All right, so you'll figure that out if we have a furniture store or not. What else? Any other questions regarding this? I think it captures what we were talking about, you know, a month ago, too.
So how are we going to notify going forward, obviously, when people are coming in for permits? Is it going to be a different change? We're just going to notify them?
On single-family homes?
Right.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just at the point of permit request, or?
Correct. Okay. And to be fair, too, it is more relaxed now. So there were, you know, the changes are more in favor of the resident at this point than they were.
So they'll actually come in and get a permit.
When they're doing 90% of their
right.
Well, it's kind of like every other ordinance we have. Yeah.
I know, I'm just saying this one seemed to be a big, not controversial, but, you know, folks didn't really appreciate having to spend that extra money to put in sprinkler systems. So I'm sure we'll probably put something in our newsletter if it's important enough to just notify people.
The controversial part was usually the additions and sometimes the renovations, and we've removed both those parts.
Okay. All right, very good. All right, so... No, it doesn't sound like there's any other. So good work. Thank you very much, John and Chief. Yeah. Appreciate
you.
your efforts on this.
Flexibility.
There is no new business, and we are going into executive session. So I asked somebody to, well, let's adjourn our regular session.
Motion to adjourn to executive session.
To discuss the purchase.
What?
Sorry.
What?
Did we vote on?
No.
On the sprinkler and
yes.
Warm.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, motion to go into executive session to discuss the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the village, including whether a particular parcel should be acquired, and for litigation involving the village that is pending.
Thank you, Mike.
Second.
All right, second. All right, good stuff. I'll take a small break and then can I do a roll? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, okay. Open session. Yep. Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cardi. No. Here. Trustee Vasquez. Trustee Conti. Here. Trustee Hennick. Trustee Gibbs.
Yeah.
President Aducey. Here. If I can get a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor.
No, we need
second.
A second.
All in favor.
Aye. Aye.